Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Diego Alfonso, airline transport pilot, designated pilot examiner, with over 13,000 hours of dual given from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. My name is Diego Alfonso, and welcome to the Florida Aviation Network. This year, 2013, marks the 39th consecutive air show, fly-in, and expo of Sun and Fun. I've been myself coming in here for the past 20 years. And we were just joined by Flight Lieutenant Mark Bird from the Ken Wing Training Academy located in the southeast England. They're visiting here at Sun and Fun. As you know, we got a lot of visitors from all over the world. And not only are they visiting, there is also a tradition behind their visit, especially to Florida. And we're going to learn all about that. Please help me welcome Flight Lieutenant Mark Bird. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Mark, I guess the thing that I'm most interested in is, can you tell us a little bit of a background of the Academy itself, what the Ken Wing is all about?
Right. Well, first of all, it's called the Air Training Corps. It started as a civilian organization back in 1938, but during the war, 1941, the Royal Air Force decided to take it out, take over the civilian organization, and it turned into the Air Training Corps. Part of the organisation is really to provide an interest in aviation, an interest into the Royal Air Force, because that's our sister as such, in the sense that, you know, we are part of the Royal Air Force. But also it's really to train the cadets in discipline, leadership, and give them skills that they can use in both military and civilian life. If you're a part of the Air Training Corps, it doesn't mean you're going to go into the military. It's very good also for the civilian. Most of our cadets will either go to be policemen, ambulance drivers, fire brigade, or they will be very successful in their civilian lives. So, and all those skills come really from what they learned during the time of us.
So this wing, I guess, was created in 1938, so it must have played a role during World War II.
Definitely. Obviously, because of what was going on during the Second World War, a load of people were needed to man the Royal Air Force. During the war, there was over 1 million people as part of the Royal Air Force, and we need a continual manpower, you know, replacement. And to be honest, we were very successful. We had more than enough people in regards to recruits. And what you would find is that if they joined the Air Training Corps, they would do their training. Once they were ready to go in the Royal Air Force, they wouldn't have to do all the basic training, because they've already considered, you know, the basic training order is considered as being completed.
I hope I'm making the right comparison, but I thought you're familiar with the Civil Air Patrol?
It is very similar.
I guess
yes.
There is some sort That's of connection it. There yep. with the, because the Civil Air Patrol here was started for the same purpose.
Well, it's, to be honest, we're very similar. We also sort of partake in the International Cadet Exchange, so we do a load of communication with the Civil Air Patrol.
And the Ken Wing, because I was reading something about, and I believe you have like 34 squadrons, or
right, we've got the Air Training Corps, which takes over the entire UK. That's Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales, but it's split into regions. So there's six regions. I'll give you a little lesson here.
All right.
Six regions. We're part of London and South East, which takes in six wings. So part of those, one's London Wing, Middlesex Wing, Sussex Wing, Kent Wing, Essex Wing, and that's how we're sort of controlled.
So the squadrons, the 34 squadrons, is the whole...
No.
Okay.
Right. In Kent Wing, there's 34 squadrons.
Oh, okay.
But overall, there's just over 1,000 squadrons, and each squadron has probably got about 40 to 50 cadets in it.
Oh, wow, that's... pretty large
it's quite
force
a large.
There.
Well, in total, the organisation itself is 60,000 people. 40,000 of those are cadets, and then we have our civilians and our uniform staff. Everybody's a volunteer, so the adults work during the day, but in the evenings, twice a week, we will go and do some form of activity. The cadets will go flying, gliding, shooting. I think you might have the President's Award over here, is that correct?
Say that again?
The President's Award.
Yeah.
Well, we call it the Duke of Edinburgh's Award, so it's sort of outdoor training, you know, take them out into the wilds, fend for themselves as such, you know, go on expeditions for 5 days and carry all their food and water. So we're quite busy.
So I guess the cadets, once they're in the wing, at some point, if they want to make a transition to the real Air Force,
yep.
I guess they could do that?
Of course they can. The Air Force is not a recruiting ground for the Air Force, but to be honest, if you look at the military forces, pilots, probably about 60% of the pilots are ex-cadets. The ground crew, probably about 40%. The Royal Navy, they reckon their best cadets or their best recruits come from the air training course, so I quite like that. But yes, definitely. If you look at the police force, the ambulance service, fire brigades, quite a large percentage are ex-cadets.
Sure. And I mean, if you have an interest in aviation, and whether you're inclined to the military or not, but most of them are inclined to the military, mm-hmm. I mean, that is the perfect way.
Well, it is perfect, you know.
To get in. You already
cadets.
Know the ropes. You already know more or less the system. So the transition, I guess, is not a big...
Not
big,
a big
problem.
No. Well, what they're actually saying, that if you was in the cadets, you make a better military personnel, you stay longer. I think they did a research, and it was something like they stay 8 years longer. So it's fabulous for the military. If they want motivated, committed personnel from the cadet ranks, that's where they're going to be looking for.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the training. The training itself, for instance, what kind of aircraft do you use for your training?
Right, all the cadets do get to go flying. We use what we call the tutor. And there's 13 what we call air experience flying schools up and down the country.
Right.
So about three times a year, each squadron will get its allocation and we will take the cadets there. And all the pilots are either ex-Royal Air Force pilots or obviously very trained pilots. They're all volunteers once again. And the cadets will get 30 to 40 minutes flights. On top of that, we've got gliding schools up and down the country. Once again, if you're a 13-year-old cadet, we'll take you off. You will get experience of the gliding. But once you're 16, you can do your gliding scholarship. And with that, the end result, fingers crossed, is that you go solo.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I was aviation king, mm-hmm. that I can rule things, I think that every pilot should have had, at some point in their career, some gliding training.
Yeah.
Because I really think that that's where the road meets... the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
Because you have no power. Mm. Everything becomes your judgment. Mm. So I think it's a very good transition.
Yeah.
To go from no power to power.
Mm.
I see that you have two cadets here with you. I believe Helen and Brad. Would you like to introduce them, please?
Yes, this is Ellen and Brad. They're both cadets that have come over here. They've volunteered, so they've spent a load of time raising the money so they can come over here. Brad was with us last year, so he's an expert, but this is the first year for Helen here.
Okay. And Helen, if I may ask you, what got your interest in aviation? Or let me put it this way. When was the first time that you thought that aviation was something that you would like to do?
I think just from talking to friends at school, and they just were saying how much of a fun time they're having at the Air Cadets, and I really wanted to join and make lots of new friends, and it's really built my confidence, and that was something I wanted to do as a cadet.
Okay, and let me ask you, so how long have you been in the wing?
It's coming up to 5 years now.
5 years now. And how do you think that has helped you?
I think it's improved my organizational skills and my timekeeping, and it's just built my confidence. And it helped a lot in getting a job, because I had a lot of experiences in team leading and teamwork, and especially doing the Duke of Edinburgh's Award. It's a lot of planning for yourself and getting the job done yourself. So it shows a lot of commitment and loyalty.
Yeah, I myself am a great promoter of aviation for young people, whether in the military or non-military, because aviation in itself creates an additional dimension of discipline, whether you're in the military or not. You know, it changed me. You know, when I started rather young. So do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think once you get up in a plane and they ask you to take control, and you think, well, now I've got control of this aircraft and it's my responsibility, and that's a lot of pressure on you, and you just realize how, important you are.
And I guess one of the things is the decision-making process,
you
know, that that you're there, you have to make the calls, and I think that helps a lot in the future, you know, as an adult, you know, having that formation. Brad, tell me, how do you got interested in the becoming a cadet?
I joined a bit on a whim, actually. A friend of mine at school mentioned about the cadets. I came down one evening and liked it, and I've been here ever since. That was about five and a half years ago.
I see. And you've been there only, say, for about a year, he says? Or how long have you been in the wing?
About 5 years.
Oh, 5 years.
Yeah,
okay.
Just over five.
I misunderstood. You've both been about the same time.
Yes.
And how do you find that the being part of the King Wing has helped you?
Well, quite like Helen said, it helps with your leadership skills and getting a job. All the civilian side, it definitely helps with. But again, with the military side, with flying experience, all the activities we do, the Duke of Edinburgh, the ACP 16, all the field craft training, it's all A, good fun, but B, gives you all the experiences and qualifications you might need for later on in life.
That's great. And what are your plans for the future? What are you planning to do in the next, say, 5 or 10 years?
I'd quite like to fly civilian commercial piloting if I can't get into the Royal Air Force. But the Royal Air Force is the first step. If not, then maybe commercial piloting.
Okay. When you say commercial pilot, I guess you mean airline or
yes.
Corporate? Or
yeah, airliners.
Airliner?
Yeah.
Airliner. Any airline in particular that you favor
no.
at this point?
Haven't got anything.
Whoever takes you, right?
Yeah.
Hey,
right.
We're not choosy.
Yeah.
And how about you? What are your plans for the future?
Currently, I want to go into teaching. This is something that I've learned through cadets. Like, we get taught, we have, like, exams, and we do all the aviation training, like, how to fly, like, navigate and stuff. And, like, as you progress up the rank structure, you get to teach the cadets. And I've really enjoyed this experience. And I really want to be able to do it with teenagers, like, my age. So in a secondary school, for, like, ages 11 to 18.
Great, great. I'm not going to ask you about what you're planning to do in the future. I'm going to ask you a little bit about your past.
Yep.
Tell me about how you got involved in the wing.
Right. I went to a school fete, and there was a recruiting stand for the Air Training Corps. And I thought, I don't want nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that at all. I'm not joining the cadets. And what they said to me was, come down and just have a look. Nothing to lose, come down and have a look. So I went down to have a look, and I thought, I'm not going to join this. And I've been there 30 years. I started off as a cadet. I started off when I was 15, went through the ranks as a cadet, left for a couple of years, walked past the gates, and they said, come in for a cup of tea, and I've been there as an adult. And I think it's fantastic. It's great. I get to travel the world. And one thing I find is it keeps you young as well, because these people keep me on my toes. So it's been quite a long time.
Aviation as general keeps you very young.
Yeah.
I'm 92.
I don't believe you.
Now, I know that the purpose of your visit here, it's threefold. I mean, one is you. I guess it's in every pilot and every person that enjoys aviation to come to Sun and Fun just for the experience.
Yep.
Then we have the fact that you're going to have some fun. But there's also another reason why you guys come here, especially to Florida. Would you like to tell us anything about that?
The reason why we come here is for the experience, to be honest. In the UK, aviation is on a totally different stand as such. Here, because America's so big, right. So many more people have got planes.
Right.
But for the cadets, it's the experience of communicating, you know, with the Americans. You know, we're very similar, but yet we're so different, especially with the language. Also, the people are so friendly, but it's also just to see the culture and the way that things are done over here. For example, in the UK, we go to air shows by car. Over here, you fly in and you bring your tents and you stay overnight, and for us, that's fascinating. And if we look at the airplanes when we come into America, we see airfields upon airfields upon airfields. So it's a different dimension over here, and it's much bigger. And to be honest, as you said, it is fun. You know, so the average person has got that access to have their own plane, where in the UK that's not the case. But also it's an educational experience for these cadets. I've learnt a lot myself as well, talking to the pilots, the civilian pilots over here. The fact that you've got a load of people that have got self-built airplanes, they're far and few between in the UK, but it seems to be, we're going to buy ourselves a kit and make ourselves an airplane. And I find that fascinating. But on top of that, the cadets take part in the workshops here. And it's great because they take all the bits and pieces. They built a wing last year and they're so pleased with that. And it's just great. But really it is an educational visit for us, a cultural visit, but importantly, as that word says, fun. They do have a lot of fun as well.
Right. Now, I understand, I think I read somewhere that there is also a place here in Florida where the British pilots that came here during World War II are remembered. Could you please tell us a little bit about that?
That's at Acadia. During the Second World War, there was quite a few pilots that would come over to America to receive their training, mainly because it was a lot safer. For example, if you was training in the UK, there was obviously a big risk that you was going to be shot down. So there was a school set up in Acadia. Unfortunately, over that period, I believe it was 24 airmen during their training, a tragic accident. So to be honest, it's a privilege for us to come over here and visit those graves, because it's us paying our respect. But also the most important thing you need to realise is the age of those airmen. Those airmen were no older than the cadets that we've got now. They were 18, 19, 20. And I just find that when you go there, it's quite poignant. And if you watch the cadets, they take that very serious. And it's great that we've not forgotten them. It's important that we remember what's happened. And it doesn't happen again. But also, it's just paying our respects. So we find that very important. And that's something that we do that on the first day. And we take that very serious.
And I really think that is a really, really nice touch to your visit here, and especially for the young cadets to have that in their minds as they go back to England.
Yeah.
But you know, being at Sun and Fun, it's just such a special thing because the environment, the people, the airplanes. I mean, I'll tell you. I'm 67 years old. I've been coming here for the past 25 years, and I cannot think of a place to be better than this place on a day like today. Unfortunately, we have come to that time where we're going to have to say goodbye to you, and thank you for being part of our show and sharing with those historical moments. And, of course, I wish you and you the best of the aviation can give you. Yeah, I think you have a bright future. Aviation is here to stay. People are not going to ride buses and ships unless they have to. So aviation is the way to go. Lieutenant?
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, and I hope you a safe trip back.
Thanks very much.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.